Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Obey, by Danny Renee. Narrated by Elizabeth Hart and Troy Duran. Each of us is born with a box of matches inside us, but we can't strike them all by ourselves. Laura Esquivel. Prologue. Gia. It's been weeks since I saw him. Since the moment I laid eyes on the tall, dark, and handsome man, I knew I wanted him. My memory is crystal clear. It's him. It's always been him. Only I can't go to him and tell him who I am, so I watch him from afar. He walks into the store with his briefcase in hand every day, dressed in an Armani suit that is tailored for him. I know this because there's no secrets between us. At least there never used to be. Elijah Drayden. 36-year-old billionaire with a seemingly perfect life. At least that's what it looks like from where I'm standing. With eyes the color of gold, dark hair that's tousled in such a way I wonder if he fucks just before he walks into the store, and lips that curl perfectly into a cupid's bow, full, pink, and delicious. His 5 o'clock shadow is barely there, the dark dusting just visible, making sure my thighs squeeze together in that needy way I'm sure most women do when they look at him. Everything about him screams sex. He exudes it like it's part of his personality. I have no doubt that when he sheds that designer suit, it's exactly what he's good at, making women come so hard they forget their own name. I just wish I could be one of those again. I was once, only he doesn't know it. He won't recognize me because I don't look the same. I've changed my hair. I no longer have those god-awful braces. And I've grown into a woman. Years have passed. And even now, when I look at him, I recall every moment his fingers touched my body and the way his lips would devour my cunt. Each morning I serve his coffee, and at every lunchtime I make sure his Caesar salad is free of croutons. But he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't recognize me. My job at Mocha Coffees is only my day job. It's at night that I see Eli in a completely different light. It's the way I remember him. When he walks into the nightclub where I work the bar, that's when he's in his element. Dressed in dark jeans and a smart dress shirt, he still looks as well put together as he does in the daylight hours. The only difference is what he's drinking, and the entertainment he enjoys. Beautiful women flock to him while he sits at the bar. Out of all the hundreds of plastic Barbie dolls that drape themselves over him, he'll choose one to take home. I've heard stories about his dungeon. I've also heard about his penchant for rope, pain, and choking.
Good morning, Gianna.
The deep rumble of his voice is enough to have my panties wet. Glancing up, I find the man in question standing before me with a smirk on his face. Good morning. The usual? He nods, then drops those golden eyes to his phone. As I make the Americano, I steal glances at his fingers, remembering how they felt pleasuring me. Clearing my throat, I set the cup down. Thank you. Another smirk. He offers me the note and grabs the mug.
Keep the change.
With that, he leaves me staring at his beautiful form. One day, Mr. Drayden. One day soon.
Elijah. Eli, you can't spend your life grieving. Find someone new. Move on.
Her imploring gaze haunts me. Her eyes, that used to shine with life, with love, are now a faded gray. Her hand is cold, ice to my warm touch. I love you. You'll always be in my heart. Why would I give it to someone else? It's the same conversation we have over and over again. We run in circles. We've been doing it for 6 months of her being in here. She forgets so easily these days. Sometimes she'll look at me, and I know she doesn't even recognize me. As we turn the corner, I notice her again. A young girl. She can't be more than 17, with golden skin, and her big brown eyes seem empty. Almost as if she's lost all will to live. It's sad to see someone so young, already so haunted by life.
"Look at her, Eli,"
my sweet wife whispers, her throat closing up with emotion as she points out the girl I've been blatantly staring at.
"Isn't she beautiful?"
Her voice is almost far away, but I nod to appease her. I don't want to let her know I can see what she's doing. I'm way too old for starting over, too broken to find someone for love. But perhaps I can fix her, make her feel again, light up her dull brown eyes. "She's lovely," I respond to my wife.
"Why don't you go talk to her? You're so good with people."
I don't reply. It hurts that she's palming me off on someone else, and she's not even dead yet. The thought grips my chest painfully. Agony slices through me, and I find it difficult to breathe. "Don't be silly. She's just a girl." And even though I want to go to the girl, to talk to her, to hear what she sounds like, I don't. Raquel knows my need. She's been through it all. Seen me when the craving took over. The hunger. The lust. And even now, as her life drains from her body, she's still my submissive. My toy. Doing what any good slave would do. Making sure that once she's no longer there, that I'll move on without regret. I sit beside my wife under the hot sun and wonder where my life is about to lead when she takes her last breath. I don't know. Acceptance is not in my blood. Not when I have to come to terms with losing the one woman who broke me as much as I broke her. And in those pieces we found completeness. The door to my office opens, dragging me from the memory. When I glance at the little woman who's just walked in, I find myself wanting to lose my shit, but I sit back and wait.
"Daddy,"
she utters in that syrupy sweet tone, but I shrug it off. When I shove the photo over the desk to her, she blanches. All that makeup couldn't cover up her guilt.
I...
Her wide eyes flit between me and the photo she sent Oliver. "What the fuck did you think would happen if you acted like a slut?" Growling, I slam my fist on the desk, sending a loud echo through the room.
"I didn't mean..."
"Like fuck you didn't mean to. You spread your fucking legs for that asshole? Was I not good enough anymore?" The rage in my tone is palpable. This little whore thinks she can use me. Thought I wouldn't find out she's fucking my partner, calling him daddy too.
"Daddy, please..."
Her pleading eyes only serve to piss me off further. "You've lost the privilege of calling me that. Pack your shit and get out." Big doe eyes glistening with tears peek at me under dark lashes. She knows better than to argue. Rising from the chair, she heads to the door. It's almost time to go home so she can fuck right off and never come back. As soon as the door clicks closed, I sit back and realize I've just lost a toy I was enjoying. Her love of rope was intoxicatingly sexy. When I choked her long, slender neck, her cunt would squeeze my dick so hard I would come instantly. Sins are evil. They taunt us, bringing us to the point of madness, leaving only shells behind, an empty carcass of the person they devoured. Mine? Lust. Sinful, vengeful, and driven by desire. Even though I play with many toys at a time, I don't consider it cheating. It's merely filling that void left by the one woman who I was meant to spend forever with. "Eli," the rumble of my partner and best friend of 30-odd years drags my attention away from sending my toy away. The one who worked for me. My fucking assistant, who I could order to suck my dick at any point I needed it. "Did you just fire Bree?"
"Yeah."
"Any reason why?" he questions, knowing full well why I did it. Lifting my gaze, I pin him with an incredulous stare. Do you really want me to get into this with you right now?
Yeah, I do.
You were fucking her behind my back and you're asking why I'm firing her? Look in the mirror, smartass. You could have afforded me with asking permission. He looks at me guiltily, but immediately shakes it off as only my best friend would. We've known each other far too long to let a piece of ass get in the way. Oliver is someone I respect, admire, and ultimately, he's like a brother to me. He is, however, very different from me. A sadist who enjoys doling out punishments and pain. He also has a penchant for both sexes. Males and females fall over themselves to kneel for him. Her cunt was hot and tight, what can I say? He says, shrugging and stepping further into my office. I know it was. That's why I kept her in the office, I confess easily, earning me a chuckle. Look, I didn't know you had feelings for her, he retorts with an arched, questioning eyebrow. I don't do feelings. I play. I use. I taunt and tease. There's nothing outside of that world. I'd given up on love when I lost my wife. There was only one girl who ever gave me a run for my money on that, and I walked away from her. When I left her in that room, I told myself she didn't want me, and I forced myself to believe it. In my mind, I was convinced she used me as much as I did her. It was easy to push people away. For me to spend my time alone, detached. Pushing off the chair, I head to the bourbon cabinet. I call it that because it's the only alcohol I keep in my office. My father once told me businessmen conduct better meetings over a shot of whiskey. The crystal tumblers I set down on the counter glisten in the dimly lit office. It's past working hours, and as the sun settles on the horizon, I wonder if it would be a good idea to visit Seven Sins tonight. I pour two shots of the Michter's Celebration Sour Mash I bought a month ago. It's one of my favorites, and I savor each and every drop. When I hand one to Oliver, he glances at the bottle and nods, thanks. Did you want to head down to Seven Sins with me? I question, before taking a long sip of the thick, decadent liquid. It burns its way down my gullet like a silky poison. Do you want to share a tight little slut? Or are you wanting one for yourself? He counters, before downing the drink in one easy gulp, and pouring himself a second shot. Let's find one to share. I want an innocent. One who's not in the pool. Someone we can corrupt and defile. My mouth curls into a dark and sinful smile. That's what I heard one of my toys at the club once tell her friend about my lips. He nods, an evil smirk on his face, and I know my best friend will be up for a fun night. Meet you at 8. He grunts, downing the three fingers of whiskey easily without even a wince. Pushing off the chair, he leaves me in my office to let my mind roam over what we're going to do tonight. It's no secret in the club that we're up for sharing. Hell, we're notorious for it. What's got me even more excited is knowing I'll see her tonight. The pretty brunette with those soulful eyes. Deep and endless pools of brown that simmer with desire. I am reminded of the girl I left long ago. I should have taken her with me. But in my grief, I walked away, and now I regret it. I may not be able to go back in time, but deep down all I can do is hope she's okay. That she found her way in life. Sighing, I know I need to focus on the present and leave the past behind me. The brunette, Gianna, is on my mind as I leave my office. I wonder if she'll want to be owned and used.
Hello, Eli.
Her voice is sultry and sensual as usual. My sweet, intoxicating beauty from the coffee shop smiles at me with those pretty brown eyes that seem to beg me to take her. She just turned 23. I overheard her telling her friend about the party she had. Her appearance here in the club is vastly different to her little coffee shop outfit. Hello, Gianna. My tone is low as I lean in and pin her with a gaze. She blushes furiously. I'll have a bourbon. Make it a double. It's been a long day. She nods as I settle on the stool at the bar. The low beat of the music thrums through my chest and the haunting voice of Marilyn Manson comes through the speakers. Sweet dreams are definitely what I'd like to give little Gianna. A deep bass vibrates through the club as the curtain opens, and I'm met with a blonde toy bound to a pole on the stage. As her dom walks onto the platform, Gianna sets the glass down on the bar beside my arm.
Here you go. I've poured you a triple since you said it's been a long day.
Turning to regard the woman who's clearly gripped my attention, I offer her a thankful smirk. The crystal tumbler glints under the low lights, but my gaze is locked on the beauty before me. I wonder how she'd look writhing between Oliver and I while calling me Daddy and him Sir. As much as I love sharing a beautiful girl with my best friend, something about this toy makes me territorial. Do you enjoy breaking the rules, Gianna? I question before taking a long sip of the amber liquid. I normally drink a dry gin and tonic when I'm in here, but tonight I felt like something heavier, something darker.
Sometimes, she murmurs, it depends on the person I'm breaking them with.
If that wasn't an invitation, I don't know what is. How about you join me tonight? I'll show you how to shatter all the fucking rules, I offer, draining the glass. Before Gianna can answer, the blonde on stage cries out in pleasured pain. We both drag our attention to see the dom whipping her beautiful cunt.
Do you like things like that?
She questions in a soft, raspy tone. My head snaps back to the brown-eyed goddess I'd love to whip until she's coming all over me. It depends on the person I'm with, I quip, throwing her words back at her with a deep growl.
And if that person happens to be me?
She asks. Her head tips to the side with a quizzical expression on her face. I'm about to answer when Oliver strolls up beside me, settling himself in the vacant seat. Bourbon, pretty girl, he orders gruffly. Turning to my best friend, I notice he's a bit worse for wear. What's crawled up your ass? I question, before turning back to watch Gianna pour two triples into the tumblers she set aside. You remember that asshole Fredericks? He growls. I nod. Well, he just called. He wants me in court tomorrow at 7. I knew that would happen. Chuckling, I lift the glass as soon as my new toy sets them down. With a wink, I offer her a nod, hoping she'll understand we need space. I'm pleasantly surprised when she does pick up on my silent signal and heads over to the far end of the bar to serve other customers. I'm more than happy to take a rain check, man, I inform him, knowing that he takes court seriously. He never stays out late if he's got an early morning appearance. Neither do I, for that matter. I knew I had to move on from mediocre jobs, and that's when I started working with Oliver. He agreed to hire me as long as we didn't let our friendship get in the way. At work, we were colleagues. After hours, we were best friends. Brothers. I knew I wanted to work for the infamous Mr. Michelson. Over the years, I'd been with every other company. I looked up to him. Watching his career progress, the man is as ruthless in a courtroom as he is in a dungeon. When I first saw him walk into Seven Sins, I had been working with him for a year. It brought us closer together, knowing that we both had a penchant for the darker side of life. The first time we shared a girl was when he took Nathan Ashcroft and me on as trainees. He taught me about delivering pain, just the right amount to draw pleasure from a female form. He knew Raquel. He introduced us. Always intuitive with what is going on around him. And since then, he's been a brother, a mentor, and a business associate. He announced me as partner to his firm after my fourth year. Being a few years older than me, you'd think the man would make sure I knew it, but he treats me as an equal, and that's earned him my respect. I better go, or I'll be here all night, tempted by the beautiful women and men. See you in the office tomorrow. And he leans in, and his gaze casts over my shoulder to Gianna. Don't be late. I don't know how he does it. How he knew that she's going to be beneath me tonight. But once again, he floors me. I won't, I respond quietly. Sipping on my drink, I don't meet his gaze that seems to be burning a hole through me. Once I set the glass down, I finally meet his gray eyes. He merely smiles as he saunters out of the club, leaving me to plan my night with the pretty bartender.
Gianna. He's been sitting there watching show after show, and with each of them, I notice him sip the drink I poured him slowly, as if savoring it. And I know it's his way. When he's about to play a scene or take home a toy, he doesn't get drunk. Ever. When I pretty much offered myself to him earlier, I thought he was going to take me up on it. But Oliver appeared, had a quick drink, and then left. I have another hour to go on this shift, and all I keep thinking about is kneeling for this man, having him bind me to a pole and whip me until I'm screaming his name. And we all know that I definitely know his name. He rises from the chair and turns toward me with his signature smirk on that incredible mouth.
I'm heading out,
he murmurs over the bar, slipping something toward me on the mahogany surface.
If you're interested in breaking any rules, you'll need this.
I don't look away. Keeping my gaze on his, I reach for the plastic card and watch as he makes his way to the exit. Once the door shuts and he's out of my line of sight, I take a look at the card beneath my fingers. A sleek silver rectangle the size of a credit card. On the top, centered in dark ornate lettering, are the initials ED. I flip it over. There's an address printed in a generic type. No phone number, just the three lines of a local home. My heart catapults into my chest. It's been so long since we've been close, since his fingers have brought me to orgasm that the tingle between my thighs intensifies at the thought of once again feeling him. Every nerve in my body tells me to go for it. I have nothing to lose. Slipping the card into my pocket, I continue the rest of my shift with a smile on my face and my belly flip-flopping with nerves. When I pull up to the gates, there's a small intercom I can access from the driver's window. I push the button once and hear the buzzing from the speaker. A click. Then the gates slide open with ease. The anxiety flutters in my stomach, and I wonder if he'll recognize me from his past. Pulling up the drive, the house comes into view, stealing my breath. Three levels of incredible beauty, lit in a soft orange glow from the drive and the windows. I take in the monstrosity that is the Drayden Mansion. Once I kill the engine, I exit the car on shaky legs and head toward the door. Before I can knock, it swings open, and I'm met with a lady who looks to be in her late 40s. She's incredibly beautiful with a tight bun at the back of her head. Her makeup is immaculate, better than mine, and she offers me a nod. I take in her appearance, noticing she's dressed in a black and white uniform. Hello, I'm... Gianna.
He's in his office,
she says, gesturing to the right as she steps aside and allows me to enter. The warm smile on her face puts me at ease for a moment, but as soon as I take in the interior of the home, I'm speechless. The dark decor reminds me of an old Victorian castle with the dark reds, blacks, and grays. There's a navy and purple modern artwork that hangs on the wall at the entrance, and smaller ones along the walls which seems out of place with the rest of the decor. But even so, it's breathtaking. Two large vases, both filled with red roses, fragrance the room with their alluring scent, and I can't help inhaling deeply. I recall the day Elijah walked into my hospital room with a single red rose he'd picked in the gardens. My most prized possession. Red for lust, and a rose for love. The maid, who hasn't told me her name, leads me toward a drawing room. Or is it called a living room? There aren't any sofas, only two wingback chairs and a long dark wooden table that runs almost the length of the room. Wait here, she says, leaving me standing in the abandoned room and shutting the door behind her. My eyes roam around the room, taking in the paintings, large fireplace, and the windows that overlook the back garden. A small patch of grass is lit up by lamps outside, which allows me to make out the flower beds just outside the windows. I feel him before I hear him. Then the lights in the room dim to almost full darkness.
Hello, Gianna.
The sensual timbre of Elijah's voice comes from somewhere in the room, but I can't see him.
I'd like you to strip for me. I want to see what beautiful lingerie you have hidden under those clothes.
The order is veiled in a soft, sensual whisper. Eli...
I didn't ask you to speak. I asked you to take your clothes off.
Comes his fluid response. No nonsense. Commanding. This is what I wanted. What I've craved for far too long. Nodding, I tug the t-shirt, which is part of my uniform, over my head. The pink lace bra I'm wearing molds to my B-cup breasts. My nipples are hard from exposing myself like this to a man I've thought about every day since I was 18, and he walked out on me. Unbuttoning the jeans I'm wearing, I slip them down my legs and step out of the fabric, leaving it on the floor beside me. I want to ask him why he's doing this. I also want to know if he's going to fuck me, but all I can think about is the fact that I can't see him, and he can see me practically naked.
Good girl. Now I want you to climb onto the table in front of you. Kneel like a submissive would. You know how to do that, yes?
He questions, and I nod.
Good. Your pert little ass will perch on your heels, your palms on your thighs, and those pretty brown eyes closed.
Every word of his instruction drips with desire and dominance, a deadly combination. It is cloaked with lust, which matches my own. Obeying him, I slip onto the table and sit back. My hands, as he mentioned, are on my bare thighs. I shut my eyes. The temptation to peek sizzles through me, but I don't. I allow myself to experience firsthand what it's like to be dominated by a man like him. I feel his presence behind me before he speaks. Warm breath on my ear alerts me that he's leaning in. His lips brush against the shell of my ear lightly. So much, in fact, that I think I've imagined it. Deft fingertips unclasp my bra, and I allow him to rid me of the material. Once my breasts are bare, he whispers,
"Put your hands behind your back, toy."
His voice is a husky rumble that shudders through me, from the top of my head down to my toes. I move my arms, gripping one wrist with the opposite hand. Soft rope teases my skin, causing goosebumps to dot my body. From my elbows, he binds both arms in slow, measured movements all the way down to my wrists. The position juts out my breasts and curves my back.
"Open your mouth,"
he orders. Once my lips are parted, I feel a ball being fitted with a strap around my head. Oh my God, a ball gag.
"Are you scared, toy?"
Without the gift of words, I shake my head. No. He grips my shoulders, lifting me up onto my knees. Seconds later, a cold metal object trails down my shoulder, between my heaving breasts until it reaches my belly button. Stifling a moan, I wait. Once it reaches my panties, soundlessly, it slices through the material. I know this because the breeze on my bare, slick flesh has me shivering.
"You're a very good toy. Did you want to play with Daddy?"
The question should freak me out. It should even make me want to stop and run away. But it has the opposite effect. I should say no, but I don't. I nod, quickly agreeing to whatever he has in mind.
"I love pretty toys, and you're exquisite."
His words are filled with hungry desire, reverence. He trails his fingertips over my pussy, and a whimper falls from my lips, which is muffled by the small ball that's positioned in my mouth. I can't stop myself from bucking against his hand. His chuckle is deep, rough, and husky. So damn sexy, I might come just by listening to him laugh.
"You're a responsive little toy. I like that. And your cunt is so wet. So damn hot. I can't imagine how good you'll feel around my big dick,"
he growls. And I mean, actually growls. It's the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
"Do you want to feel my whip, little toy?"
Nodding again, I wait. He shifts. I hear the shuffle.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?